It's worth doing the work because we don't want to be on our deathbeds or having people after we have passed away reflecting on our lives. We don't want to have regrets. We don't want to have the, well, I wish I did try that, or I wish I did do this, or I didn't do that. We have this life here now. Let's make the most of it.
Hi, and welcome to Lead Well, the podcast for you if you want to get better at leading yourself and leading others. This is Christine Schickinger, your host, looking into how you can achieve peak performance while keeping a peaceful mind.
Welcome to this episode of the Lead Well podcast. And I have another fascinating guest today, and that is Autumn Carter. Hi,
Hi, I'm fascinating. Ooh, yay.
Autumn. Hey, you are. You are, and you're more than that. So let me quickly share a few words about you. Autumn is a certified life coach and the creator of Wellness in Every Season, where she helps people navigate life's changes with clarity, balance, and self-compassion. She's passionate about transforming wellness from something we simply talk about into habits we live daily. And I have to smile about that because that could be so me. Autumn hosts her own podcast, also called Wellness in Every Season, which is fantastic. I listened to a few episodes and I loved them. And in your podcast, you share powerful insights and practical strategies for creating lasting well-being. Today, we'll share wisdom and you'll share your wisdom about embracing wellness, building healthy habits, and thriving through life's shifting seasons. Welcome again.
Thank you. I'm so excited for this. Just our emails back and forth and planning this. I'm very excited.
And so am I. That's so wonderful. So while you're talking a lot about wellness in your podcast, what does wellness truly mean to you?
I've been really working on this for the past year of feeling like I'm just talking about this, nobody's quite getting it. So I've been really digging into, okay, what is it for me personally? How do I live this? And then from there, being that example and sharing it from different, I guess you could say, vantage points. Like, let's really look at this four dimensionally. And for me, really, when you are closing your eyes and you are doing that scan of your body, your physical body, and then your spiritual body, and all the other ways that you fit together as this four-dimensional being. Does everything feel aligned? Is anything screaming out for attention? That is really the easiest definition that I can come up with for myself. Maybe I'm stealing it from somebody else. I haven't even looked. I've just been on this own, my own journey of what is wellness? What does that look like? How do I embody this? And that really, at the end of the day, is what we're looking for when we're going to the doctor complaining about aches and pains, when we are complaining to other people about things that aren't going well in our lives, or when we just feel blah and we don't know why. That's really what we're searching for, is wellness.
It sounds like a state of feeling good within ourselves.
I think of yoga poses that, you know, when you think of yoga, if you close your eyes or if you're walking or driving, don't, please don't. But if you think of yoga, you think of that pose that's peaceful, hopefully. Maybe you don't. Maybe it's something that's more your muscles are on fire and you're doing things. But I think of that, either the meditative pose or maybe the tree pose, if it's held properly, it can look very peaceful. And I think of that, and really with the tree pose, it's you're in balance enough that you can be in that pose within your physical body. And once you get your physical body there, your spiritual body's going there. Yes, I do like yoga. You can tell. But it's that feeling within yourself. I have worked with people who are trying to lose weight, some that, medically speaking, don't need to. And it's that idea of when you are closing your eyes and you're picturing your ideal body. We're starting here because I'm from America and we are very weight centric, which Please insert eye roll here if you have not on your own. A big eye roll. It's a little overdone. But when we're looking at our physical body and we're really looking at it from our spiritual eyes, I don't know why I keep going spiritual here, but I am. We're just rolling with it. How are you feeling? How are you showing up? What do you want to feel in your body? For me, my physical goals are I want to have better posture. I tend to hunch because I'm taller. And I want to not have pain in my body. I have four kids and I decided to hold them all on my right side. So I have this huge knot that the chiropractor, the masseuse, and the acupuncturist are working on, and I'm also working on. So I don't want to have that. And I also want to be a Swiss Army knife. You know those really fat ones that have all those different tools on them? I want my body to feel like that, where I can use it the way that I want to, and my body can show up full force. And that I am so at home in my body that I know the movement that I need to do, whatever specific thing I want to do. So that's physical. And then there's this part of that spiritual. But I want that emotionally. I want that in every area of my life where I can show up that way and be who I need to be. But that, what does that involve? That involves quite a bit, right? But when we step back, it's what small things are you doing each day to lead up to that? So those are my own personal goals. That's what I'm working on. And that's what I work on with other clients on is what does wellness look like for you? Because for each of us, it looks different. And I think part of the reason why it looks different, of course, we're unique individuals, but it depends on where we're feeling out of balance. What has gone on in our life to make us feel out of balance? Okay, what do we need to do to correct that? What is that going to look like for you?
Wow, interesting. And have you come across of any misconceptions that people have about maintaining their personal wellness?
Well, I had my teeth cleaned recently. Ta-da! Anyway, I was talking to the hygienist and explaining that I am a wellness coach. I have a life coach certification. That's really what I do, but I use a lens of wellness. And she started talking to me about we have Sprouts here. I don't know what it's called there. There's different holistic grocery stores here. So she started talking about that and going down that route. And I'm like, wow, I really need to show what is wellness. Because when I'm using the word wellness, people are going more of the, we call them here in the US, the crunchy stores. You can think Birkenstocks or whatever. But the people who are looking more for organic and they're more intentional living, which, yes, that can be an aspect of it, but there's that misconception that I'm wanting people to be this way, where no. Let's talk about, and what I really like using for my modality for the lens is it used to be the five dimensions of wellness, but now it's the eight. And going through, and what I start every client on is a self-assessment of how are you doing with each of these eight dimensions? How are you showing up? Okay, why are you showing up that way? Why did you put that number? It's a scale of 1 to 10. And then from there, what do you want it to be? So give me that number. What needs to change for that to happen? So we kind of have this baseline. And because it is a self-assessment, they're having those aha moments. And what's really fun is I like to do it to myself every several years. And it's been really fun to see. I'm actually overdue. So maybe after this, I'll do that. I need to put that in my schedule. But let me back up and go over what the eight dimensions of wellness are. I have this poster behind me. It is crazy hard to read. I'm actually making a new one, but I need to make sure the sizing is bigger and that I don't block it out. Otherwise, what's the point? So the eight dimensions of wellness are emotional. I think we all have a pretty good idea of what that means. Social. So our social connections. Who are we connecting with that we actually want to connect with? And who are we connecting with that drain us? How can we limit that? How can we change that? A big sign of aging and aging quickly is when we lose our social connections. COVID has taught us that. So many studies on aging have taught us that. Professional. So that can be in retirement, maybe a hobby that keeps you aware of professional things around you, it will look different. So, what does that look like for you? If you're a stay-at-home mom, I think, first of all, I'm going to get in my soapbox a little bit here, but maybe just realizing what things you are learning that contribute professionally. I help stay-at-home moms return back to work. And if we fill out a resume of all that you have done as a stay-at-home mom, it's astounding. You could basically be a CEO, not perfectly, but you do a lot of things that are CFOs, CEOs. Realize that.
Absolutely. I mean, as a stay-at-home mom, you're leading the household and the entire family. It's a team, ideally.
Yes. You learn how to delegate and you learn how to shove what should be 8 hours of work into 2 hours' time. You know how to do it. Environmental. I really like this one because you can play with it so much. My degree is in applied health, and I originally started out in public health. And then when the applied health degree became available at my college, I looked at those classes and said, I want more than eight dimensions of wellness. I want that. So I switched over, still taking the public health classes that I wanted to take. So I just kind of ping-ponged, but finished with applied health. So environmental can be the area around you. So what room are you in right now if you're in a room? Where do you spend most of your time? For some people, it's work. For some people, it's home. For some people, maybe it's the bar. I don't know. Yoga studio, whatever. And then going outside of that. So work, home, a room in a home. Maybe if you have a yard in your community, then thinking within your state, country, you can go as big or small as you need with this. It's really fun to do. For me, my goal is to make enough money within my coaching practice, this business, that I can then fund a program that I have all the framework for that is all about watershed health. So I plan on doing that to help the environment, my community, and then make enough of an impact that it can spread out. So let me share what watershed is really quick for my side passion project. Watershed, I didn't even know what this term meant. So this is why I'm sharing it, is it's basically the area when it rains where the water runs off. Where does it go to? So for us in our community, we have some lakes that are gross. I kayak on them. Don't make me swim in that. But that water is the backup drinking water for our city. Blah. And there's certain times where it smells and where it has algae blooms, which when there's algae blooms, you don't want to swim in it. You don't want to drink it. It's very toxic. There are places like that all over the world. So from here, our watershed goes all the way down where it ultimately goes into the ocean. I originally grew up in Arizona in the desert, so hearing about those things made no sense to me. It doesn't rain enough. Where's the water draining off to? But here in Maryland, I can see it because it all goes into the Chesapeake, which eventually goes into the ocean. It's a much easier shot. I can see where it leads. So that's my passion project for my environmental. And then spiritual. And so many of us, if we are non-religious, I am religious, feel like spiritual maybe doesn't matter for us, but we are spiritual beings. I don't know if you've ever heard this quote. I love this quote. We are spiritual beings having an in-body experience. I'm sure I'm butchering it, but I love the idea. And if you've ever been around maybe someone short or a child and they have this big personality and it's so much bigger than they are, we all have that. And it is amazing to realize how much bigger our spirit is than ourselves. So what are we doing to connect with that? For me, like I said, I am religious, but I love spending time in nature as well. Just seeing all this creation around me. And I love spending time with animals because they have this innocence that we tend to lose sometimes out of necessity as we grow up. And sometimes they don't talk back, sometimes as loudly as children. If you know an animal really well, sometimes they do more than children. but there's that part. There's financial, which is one of the newer dimensions of wellness, and it is a big one. I have been coaching several people who have had financial abuse from their spouse. It is a big deal. It's very common. And I have undergone my own transformation. I still am. It's a journey with finances and how I feel about money because of my childhood. My poor sweet husband, he is very much the person who likes to, he doesn't hoard it. That's not a good word, but he likes to keep money in reserves and he feels more at peace that way. Where I've been more the type where I feel like money is dirty and I want to get rid of it. And then we married each other. Oh, poor guy. I love him. He's adorable for so many reasons. And he's so patient with me, which is the biggest. But it's very much been this journey of digging in and okay, why do I have this impulse to just get rid of money as soon as we have money, to give it to other people, it just needs to be gone. And realizing that it was generational stuff and why it was that way, why my parents raised me the way they did with it, why I react the way that I do with money, and really sitting with envisioning money around me and being okay with that. Because money is whatever we decide that it is, whatever emotion we put on it. Money doesn't come with that emotion. We put it on ourselves. And then there's physical, which I've talked about a lot. So, whatever your feelings are regarding physical. And then there is psychological. So, this is different than emotional, and it's how are you feeling about yourself overall? Like when you look in the mirror and you are looking at yourself in the eyes, you're not picking apart your body, whatever. How, all of your makeup, how are you feeling? Every part that makes you who you are, that makes up you, how are you feeling? That's my idea of psychological. I know people have different ideas, but it's the mental health portion of it, which goes deeper and broader than emotional. And what I really like about the eight dimensions of wellness is that it is that Venn diagram, which is the diagram where it has the circles or whatever shape you want. Usually it's circles, but they overlap. If you notice, if you are working on your social wellness, you are probably making an impact on your professional wellness because you're networking as well. If you're working on your physical health and you're really spending that time being in tune with yourself, depending on how you exercise, if exercise is a part of it, it should be at least a portion. You will feel more in touch with your spiritual side because they inhibit the same area, or at least a lot of the same area. And when you are taking care of your financial wellness, you will have opportunities that positively affect your professional wellness. So it definitely overlaps, and that's what I love about it. It's so fun. I have been very curious about wellness almost my whole life, but I haven't had the tools necessary to really dive into it until going back to college. And realizing how many other people struggle through wellness in maybe they're overeating or undereating. That's really where it shows up in the US. And when we start trying to find a coach and everything else, or we have this something that just completely rocks our faith, whatever our faith is in, it's usually when they start reaching out for a coach. But I really like the idea of wellness and that preventative side, as well as helping people if they feel like they've gone over the edge. But really, I love the prevention side because there's less work to do. There's more excitement in this area where there's a lot more fear and overcoming fear once they feel like they've gone over the edge. And
Forward looking and less firefighting, is it?
yes, exactly. And it's so fun, and I've created programs around it, which is just to give people really a taste. But my favorite thing is coaching people one-on-one, getting rolling up my sleeves and getting dirty with them, and just really realizing with them that their life is their own. It's so individual, and let's tailor your life to actually be what you want, not pleasing other people. Get rid of all the shoulds and everything else, and really let's discover who you are underneath all the layers of what other people have placed on you, what you've placed on yourself. Let's discover who you are. And then let's figure out what areas, I'm looking at my sticky note of the 8 dimensional wellness over here. What areas do you want to work on here? What really is calling to you that where you want to start?
Wow. Is there any simple practice, any simple wellness thing that you could recommend people to start today to feel better?
What I love, because I have four young children and I am a doer and a goer, and it, and you are too, as we've talked, meditation, just taking that moment to slow down. And if you don't even have time to meditate, check in with yourself. How many times? Well, here's a funny story, funny in a crying, painful way. I went back to school when my oldest was 7 months old. So I was in my 30s at this point, but senior in college. And I decided that I wanted to get scuba certified. Not because I had a destination that I wanted to go. It was part of overcoming fear. I almost drowned as a kid. And then I would have it. So then I would be able to go scuba dive whenever I wanted. And we live in Maryland. There are shipwrecks in the bay. It wouldn't be a big thing to go out scuba diving. Anyway, I had this residual headache from my first bout with COVID. So that should tell you about the time frame when this was happening, which is long-term COVID, whatever. I go to get my certification. I pass with flying colors on the written part. We're now in the pool. I struggled to get down to 12 feet deep with all the gear on. And my ears just would not let me. And I finally made it to the bottom of the pool and I felt them pop. I had a sinus infection. I did not realize, I was not taking the time to check in with myself. I had a sinus infection. First ever in my life. I mean, duh, right? If I checked in with myself, it would have been obvious and had been going on for months. And I ended up rupturing both my ears. They're healed, it's fine. But it was a very big learning experience for me and a very big duh. So I ended up going to the doctor, getting the medication to kick the infection out. I have yet to go scuba diving again. It is on the horizon, but I'm with young kids. I don't want to book something. Like, it needs to be somewhere local. I don't want to book something and I have a virus and I can't go. I just figure I'll wait till they're older. But to help me with overcoming the fear of swimming, I instead hired a private coach and did private swim lessons. Much easier. I can be sick and still skim the top of the water or just underneath, not going 12 feet deep. But how many times, and you guys should all be able to relate to this, where you've had a moment in your life where you've had that, and it's been such a clear, if I had checked in with myself, I would have known better. I would have known better to get into that relationship with somebody, whether it's a marital relationship, a business relationship, a friendship, whatever. If I would have checked in with myself, my intuition was telling me not to do this. Or I knew that I should not have gone to that party because I wasn't feeling well. Or whatever. I've done that before. And then I ended up, anyway,
And we can only
ended up
find out
embarrassing.
if we are still enough to actually listen to ourselves, aren't we?
So self-check-ins, and you can easily do it through an app. If you guys are watching the video, I have an Apple Watch. I still want to say iWatch because there's iPhone. Anyway, whatever. My husband, when I don't think it through and I just blurt it out, he looks at me like, really? Like, well, anyway, I have an Apple Watch, and there in the health app, it will give you its, I forget what it's called. I think it's under the mindfulness. It will check in with you as often as you want, and it'll ask, how am I feeling right now? And you can quickly log it and just move on.
Cool.
And I know Android has its own version. If not, you can find a free app. It does not need to be a paid app, but or even just set your alarm to go off every hour, every couple hours. It's great along with the stand up reminder. Just stand up, stretch, and then take that moment to check in with yourself.
And even without the electronic devices, what I often say is whenever you take a sip of tea or whenever you go take it away, so use that as a memorable moment to think and check in with yourself.
And
Wow.
if you have more time, add some meditation in.
Yeah.
I try to meditate every morning. Try, because on the weekends sometimes I don't. But I feel a lot more grounded, and I have my own morning routine that happens before my children wake up so that I am taking care of myself. Because I don't know about you guys, if you have young kids, it's a lot to get them out the door and not fighting and no tantrums. And my oldest is 10, my youngest is 4. And I have 4 children, so they're pretty close in age. They're young. And I need that. I need to be filling my own cup before they're quickly draining it. And I also have my own evening routine. I feel like having those bookends of the day really help, and really taking that time to what do I need within those, and making sure that you realize how important you are and how worthy you are. For the simple fact that you're here, that you are present on this earth at this time, you have worth. If you didn't have worth, then you wouldn't be here.
Wow, memorable insight. Now, when we speak about memorable insights, because you have so many guests on your podcast, is there any, or what is one, or what are even a few memorable insights that you've learned from those guests that you had?
Well, the first time I heard about the law of attraction, and really, you hear about things, but then and then you hear about things and they really penetrate, was on my podcast. And it's led me on my own journey of learning more about it, of accepting more people who talk about it, just so I could learn more. Yes, it's for myself. It's for you guys too. It's for myself. That was really big of how do I incorporate this with wellness and playing with that. And then it's led me to also adding on working on my chakras, specifically my throat, and remembering that I can say the things that I want and that is part of manifesting. But there's so many times where I'll pay for something. And I'd really rather it be this way, but I won't tell them that. And remembering that I paid for that time for myself, so I can say what I want and I can be assertive for myself. Especially, I need to be doing that so my children can see how to do it. And just life in general. I had somebody who was on my show. She is a divorce coach. And at the end of our recording, she asked, "What do you need? What can I do for you?" And I had a, "I don't know." And I realized, no, I need to know these things. I need to know, what am I looking for? What am I working on? So that when somebody asks me or it's presented to me, I'm not doing the, "I don't know." Because if you're doing that, nothing's going to show up for you because you're not decisive on what you need. So that was really big for me, learning about. And then I learned about this, and then I asked somebody to be on my show that ADHD and trauma show up the exact same in the brain. So you can have ADHD symptoms when you never had it before because trauma happened. And sometimes it happens, but not for everybody. When you recover enough from your trauma, which is an emotional wound, your ADHD symptoms can go away. That was amazing. I had a therapist come on to help talk me through this. This is something that I learned, but I didn't feel like I could quite capture the same way as somebody who's a therapist. So that was a lot of fun. I The whole thing is amazing because I started a podcast to help other people, but it's amazing how it's helped me and how I've grown because I've had these people speak and come on, and I am writing myself little notes like, okay, I need to research that more because that sounds really cool type of thing. Or we press stop on the recording and then we talk for another hour. It's so fun. I try not to do that super often because I feel like I'm getting so much more than the listeners, but it's been a lot of fun. I've had a lot of really good aha moments. I've had people offer me different modalities that they're teaching so that I know what they're teaching, offer me books so that I can read their books before they come on. So it's been fun just the ways that I've been gifted from this. Like I said, it was meant to be for other people, but it repaid me so much more than I feel like I've given. And I struggle sometimes with feeling guilt over that because that wasn't my intention, but it's amazing the people that I've met that I get to brush shoulders with, that I get to learn from, that have pointed me in different directions on things that they've noticed that I've said, like, maybe you should try working on this for yourself. So of course I show up first for the people that I'm coaching, the people that are my audience on my podcast. But then when I'm done recording, then it's like, okay, hold on, you said this. I'm curious about this for my own learning, for my own journey. So it's been a lot of fun.
Wow, that sounds so great. And I have a very similar experience with my guests. Now, where do you see this whole wellness movement going? And I'm calling it a movement. So, what are the topics that you think will come up in the future? What are the trends that excite you?
Well, I know the biggest one that people are talking about a lot, and this is without doing like a Google Analytics search, just what I've been noticing is sleep. And it's something that I've been diving into myself. So that's probably why I've been noticing it. It's like when driving, if you're looking for a red car, you're going to see a bunch of red cars. So that one. And then I think knowing that we are on the horizon of spring is now here. Summer's around the corner, so it'll definitely be things that are more outdoors and with the change in season. I think people will be talking about sad a little bit more, just the reflecting back on it now that we've gotten through winter. I know the topic that is going on right now is daylight savings because it just happened, and my kids hear me saying it for the first 2 weeks. Daylight savings is stupid, and I say it like a teenager or stupid. For a toddler,
You
which
said that
depending on the time of the
again.
day, they sound the same. Daylight savings.
Daylight savings. Okay.
Yeah.
Got it
There
now.
are so many studies on why it's not good for us. I know that there is a purpose behind it still happening, but oh, it drives me crazy. So there are many wellness topics. We will never fully get rid of the wellness topic around our physical health and what we're eating. I know mindful eating became popular several years ago, and there's still so much validity to it. I try to focus on that. Sometimes it's hard when the kids are mom, 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 mom. But really, I know another one that's popular right now that goes with mindfulness eating is somatics. And I have a somatics coach. I love it. So it's really, and this goes with what I was saying, that whole mindfulness checking in with yourself, but it goes deeper than that. So superficial somatics is how are we doing within our body? Are there parts that are screaming for ourselves? So like for me, with this pain in my back and my shoulder, I know that there's emotions trapped here, and I know it's around my third child who has a defiant disorder. So because it really started flaring up around that time. So I know that emotions were trapped there. So I'm doing the work to release those emotions. I became a certified parenting coach because I needed it first for this child because his personality is so different from the rest of the family. And it has helped tremendously in our family. So I've have felt relief here, but it's going through the rest of that. And I know that so many of us resonate in the same way. We have our own areas where maybe we have that tightness or we feel like we have arthritis. But maybe it's not arthritis. Maybe it's trapped emotions. So there's really doing that work of figuring out, okay, what's going on with our body. I recommend a somatics coach for this. And playing with different modalities within somatics to see which one resonates with you, what's going on. So really overall, to circle all the way back to wellness, it really is about where am I feeling out of balance in my life and what do I want to do about it? And being extremely honest, brutally honest, but brutally curious and even more loving towards yourself when you are doing that introspection. It's worth doing the work because we don't want to be on our deathbeds or having people after we have passed away reflecting on our lives. We don't want to have regrets. We don't want to have the, well, I wish I did try that, or I wish I did do this, or I didn't do that. We have this life here now. Let's make the most of it. I really love, I know it's like decades old, a decade and a half old, YOLO, you only live once. I love that idea. Several people prescribe to the we have several lives, everything. But let's focus on the life that you have right now to live and let's live the most of it. And that, first of all, is taking care of ourselves and then taking care of everybody else.
Could be famous last words. I can only say thank you, Autumn. That was wonderful. Absolutely fascinating, as I said at the beginning. It's so much, not only fun, it's so insightful listening to you, and your passion really shines through all of your words. So thanks so much for sharing that with me and also our audience today, of course.
Well,
Thank you
thank you for
so much.
joining us and listening in, and thank you for inviting me.
Cool. Thank you.
This was Lead Well. Now, what is the one thing that you're taking away from this episode? Please share in the comments below and do share the podcast with your friends and family, but only if you like it.